Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or artificial nonsense. It's just pure goodness in every pouch. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. That's Symbiotica.com.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
Hey, listen.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode of One Upsmanship. I am one of your hosts, Adam Ganser.
I am another host, Michael Slam.
How did you lose the coherency? And with us is our guest.
What's up? I'm Vanessa Gritton.
Thank you so much for being here, Vanessa.
We had a real garbage fire of an intro planned. That we cut most of it.
I think planned is a strong term.
No, we just fell into it.
It was in my notes. I'll show you later.
We'll probably circle back to it because it's going to come up when we talk about the hollow cartridges. I'm just slamming sci-fi words together. Is that what they're called?
I've been playing the game and I did not pay attention to a lot of nomenclature. I think it's hollow cartridges.
I think that was right, Yeah.
Well, if that wasn't a clue enough, today we're talking Fallout 4.
Mm.
And I have to say right at the top, because I know people who know me and have listened to the show are going to know. So I just got to get this out of the way. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try as hard as I can not to steer it towards Fallout New Vegas, which is my favorite game of all time.
I actually had to prep myself in the car to not talk about New Vegas because I love it so much more.
We'll have you back.
Wow. Okay.
It's one of the best games ever. But Adam hasn't played it, and I need his take, and it's a long game, so I wasn't going to force him to play it just for this talk.
I didn't know that this many people loved that game.
It's the crown jewel of the franchise.
See, now, that is not a common opinion.
Okay, Fallout 2, maybe, but...
No, 3 is the one I was here.
No.
I'm just telling you. Okay, all right.
New Vegas is honestly the most... It's one of the most replayable games that I own.
Yeah.
For the Vegas, Elvis gang alone, like that. Okay. Mm-hmm. What a magnificent storyline.
Let us never speak of it again. Yeah. Today we're covering Fallout 4, the graphically superior, but in other ways inferior. Oh, I'm already ranting.
It's pretty.
Who's going to do our speed run? So usually we invite the guests to do the speed run. Are you up for it, Vanessa?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Oh, I love it.
Do we need to tell you what the speed run is, or you want to jump right in?
Basically, just describe the game.
As fast as you can. Start the clock.
Can I do spoilers?
The clock has begun. I don't know. I can't help you now.
So basically, unlike every other Fallout game, this one, you get to taste what life was like before, so it hurts so much more once the bomb actually lands. You get about like the 20 minutes of like, I have a great wife, and I have an awesome kid, or great husband, or kid, because you get a pick. And then eventually a salesman comes to the door, and then everything blows up, and then you're in a vault, and it's like, surprise! You're not actually safe. We're experimenting on you. And then your spouse is killed, and your son is taken away, and then you wake up. And there's a lot of time for you to dig around and not actually get to the plot, because then you spend forever playing Red Menace in a tiny vault and not actually exiting for 45 minutes. And then when you finally get out, you see that the world is once again desolate. At that point, you meet a dog, and that's great. His name is Dog Meat. That's a really bummer of a name. You're given way too much freedom to where you spend an entire hour collecting mugs before you actually get to the game, because I shouldn't have this much freedom. You meet some Minutemen. You're in Boston. Fuck Boston. Why are we in Boston? And then eventually you find out that like the big baddie in this situation is actually your son 200 years in the future, even though literally everybody has clued you into this the entire time, yet you're surprised. And then you have the option of picking, like, do I, like, take after my son and continue on with his evil endeavors, or do I fight him with some Minutemen that I just met?
And time.
I thought that was a great summary. I really liked it a lot.
The granularity of detail at the beginning made me panic for you that it was going to be like an 18 minute. If you were going to like do the B plots and all the, you're like, then you meet a death club and then this happens. Also,
it's because it's so hard to get through the beginning.
Elements of that speed run were specific to Vanessa's experience of the game. It is not intrinsic.
Universally true. Like, fuck Boston was one of them.
But it's, of course, but it's not intrinsic to the game that you play Red Menace, the mini game within the game, for hours.
For a really long time.
I feel like I'd be surprised if less than half of people that have played Fallout did not put an hour into Red Menace.
Okay. Or even just went into the computers that were around.
Well, I mean, what are you playing Fallout for?
The terminals.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're not going to do that shit, why are you playing Fallout? That's my argument.
That's just, you know, then you just care about the destination and not the journey. And Fallout's all about the journey.
I agree.
It's hours and hours and hours of a journey, and then eventually you forget the destination.
Wonderfully said. Checkpoint us up.
Yeah.
Done. Time for rants.
Great.
Who wants
you
to jump
first?
In? Who went first last time? I like doing it.
I believe I went first.
All right. Player one tagging in for the rant. Gut reaction about Fallout 4 is that it was the most excited for a game trailer I'd ever been.
It was so pretty.
Yeah, the use of the... Around. It was like killing me. it was coming off New Vegas, which is my favorite game of all time, at least story-wise. And it's a step up in graphics, and they added a building element. And I find the building element limited, and it will probably get better in the next installment. I don't care that the graphics are better, because Fallout's never been graphics driven. And even though they're better, they're not competitive with other AAA games. So they're not like great. And I would consider it a step down in the series. I'm pretty down on it. I fuck Boston. Yeah. I didn't care about being in Boston. It seemed like such a weak place for them to pick. There was like no important iconography to mine, really, other than Fenway Park was like the one thing I already knew would happen, or Harvard Square.
Yep.
And overall, the thing I like about Fallout, or the modern Fallouts 3 on, it's always about supporting different factions that represent different answers to a philosophical question. And we haven't mentioned one faction, which is the Railroad, reminiscent of the Underground Railroad. And the central question, I do think, is a very interesting question. I just thought the story was not as tightly executed as other Fallout stories. But the end of my rant is, the central question is, now robots with fully functional AI exist. Should they have full human rights, or limited human rights, or no rights whatsoever? Because Brotherhood of Steel wants to just use them as slave labor. I believe the Institute also thinks they should be slaves. The Underground Railroad wants them to be free.
I'm trying to remember what the Institute wants.
Oh, the Institute wants to just, they believe that as a very well-defended collection of the greatest minds and all the best technology in the area, their, I think, survival's paramount. They want to, I think, kill the surface dwellers who they don't value and expand onto the surface and take over and like reform society to match what the Institute is like. Like, your dad always says stuff like, just give us time, you know, we're going to reclaim this area, make it beautiful, etc. But that's just more plot info. The core of my rant is meh for Fallout 4. That's the core of my rant, yeah.
That's a strong meh from you about this game series, because this is one of your favorites, right?
What? Fallout. Franchises?
As a franchise, yeah.
Yes, because of 1, 2. I do think 3 is great.
You've played 1 and 2.
I've played Wasteland, my friend, the game by the same developers that predates Fallout 1. In fact, they just made a new Wasteland game, Wasteland 2. It's excellent. You can get it on Steam.
But I won't.
For me, it goes New Vegas, 2, and then 3 in that order. And those are the essential ones so far.
Yeah,
Fallout 4 is a really weird one for someone who's never played Fallout to walk into. Because I think the intro is significantly more difficult than other Fallout games are. And also, if you have played before, maybe like the special system is a little bit different when it comes to like putting up skill points. But it's a hard one to walk into. It's not as intuitive it used to be. The building system doesn't really make a ton of sense initially. you have to really fuck up and put a door in a lot of weird places before you initially figure it out. And I don't know. The bones of the game are familiar, but I'm sick of those bones. Give me something else for the love of God. And the new thing was like, it's Boston and I don't care about Boston. Vegas was interesting because that's a really interesting place to think of a wasteland. If everything ended, Boston is not my destination.
Fair enough.
I think that stands as a player two rant.
I loved that right there.
So you're in the hot seat now.
Well, okay. So now I might take a position I don't actually think yet because I don't know. I have mixed feelings about this game. So I want to attack the franchise as a whole and not this game as being not as valid or interesting a critique as it is often posited that it is.
Shouldn't you have played more of them to make that
claim? No, I don't think so. At least I'm gonna talk about it from Bethesda on. I'm not gonna talk about 1 and 2 because I don't know anything. Or Brotherhood of Steel or any of these other expansions that I don't know about.
It's crazy to not include 2. But you'll understand
when,
that
it's
someday.
It's not when this game series was dramatically changed and overhauled to be what is essentially a Bethesda game.
But
like I would say Fallout is more a Bethesda game than it is Fallout.
All right, it's your answer. This is for like, Game I would On, say, but I don't agree at all. Go ahead.
That's fine. You don't have to, baby.
It's very much Fallout-y. It wouldn't exist without Fallout 2 and 1.
Okay, that's cool. But I don't care. It's my rant, bro. So it's more Bethesda than anything else. Like, it shares exactly the bones and systems and gameplay loops of all the Elder Scrolls and everything else. And I was a little bit gentler on the critiques of that in the Skyrim episode because I prefer Skyrim to any Fallout. This game, I didn't think was... I had nothing new to say at all in this franchise. I thought 3, which was my first introduction into the system, was cool. And was like cool because of sci-fi reasons and because the social like constructs that they were critiquing were more interesting. But 4 was simpler as an RPG, so it was less good as an RPG. It was not an interesting locale. I agree with that. It was not a very robust critique of any of the social structures that exist. They just kind of repeated them.
Yeah.
And it was... And like it made me start asking questions about... Is this a valid world to use as a conversation about what the apocalypse is? Or is the world itself constructed in a way that's not interesting and just kind of cool, but not interesting? Like, yeah, not interesting. It's just a cool idea. To me, Fallout needs to demonstrate that it has more to say than it has already said. And I don't see that happening yet. Fallout 76 makes me concerned that there is less to say than I think. Because that is a game.
It won't count. It's a stopgap game in between.
Right. Well, I would say if you're going to lend your franchise to something, it does count a little bit because it's still part of the narrative of this game.
Okay. Then Elder Scrolls Online.
Which I haven't played.
It sucks.
Does it? I mean, I hear arguments about that. Sure. And I wouldn't say
that's
you're
a big
wrong.
Fat bummer.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, great. I'm glad I didn't play it.
It's a real boner of a game.
But I don't know that you have to, like... One bad installment in a gaming franchise, I don't think drags the franchise down.
Totally,
necessarily.
Yeah. I'm definitely willing to be wrong on this because I did play this for, I don't know, 100 hours when it first came out, and thought it was fun, but I thought I was a little disappointed by it, and it made me a little cynical about the release structure of it, where like it was released at E3 like a trailer and then like was out in like 3 months and so that allowed everyone to be like fucking yes and like not really have enough time to critically think about this game, and then it was gone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like I think Bethesda kind of knew this wasn't as good a game as the previous installments. That's my pet theory. I can't prove it, but I think that's probably the end of my rant for now.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbiotica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbiotica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbiotica.com. Symbiotica.com.
You know, everybody has their own wellness routine, their own approach to a healthy lifestyle. A lot of the most successful ones include herbs like ginger root, ashwagandha, and so many others. Nature's Way has been sourcing herbs like those for over 50 years. They understand that nature is the ultimate problem solver, so they're dedicated to providing plant-powered formulas to help people live healthier lives. Their herbs can support your health in so many ways. For instance, ginger root and slippery elm bark have both been used for centuries all over the world. Ginger root has traditionally been used to soothe occasional digestive upset, and slippery elm bark to soothe the GI tract. St. John's wort, holy basil, and ashwagandha can provide mood and stress support, which is something we can all use in our modern life. I mean, these herbs come from all over the world, but Nature's Way knows where the best ones grow. They test for potency in their state-of-the-art lab, and their scientists are experts in all things herbs. What's on the label is what's in your bottle, and what's in your bottle are the best herbs around. To learn more, visit naturesway.com.
Checkpoint.
Mm. So I want to ask you two questions.
Game on.
You ready for this? So the first is the conversation about synths, is that a valid conversation about racism? Because that's the parallel, right?
I didn't know. That's what I was going to ask
you
immediately.
Think?
No, I don't think it is.
You think it's a totally different conversation?
I think you take it on its face, and that's why I took issue with you saying that I don't think this had any new question to ask or anything new to say.
Uh-huh.
In the near future, whether a fully cognizant AI should be given human rights will be a real question that literally is not a metaphor for anything. We're going to have to deal with that question in the next generation.
So you don't
I didn't really see it as a metaphor. I didn't see it as a metaphor either. Okay. Like, I just saw it as a question of just kind of like, we're now looking at new concepts of like, what has autonomy? Mm.
And I thought that was a new enough concept to refresh it, because I do find that to be an interesting question. It's the same question at the core of Blade Runner, and everyone fucking loves Blade Runner.
Sure.
Like, it's kind of the same.
It was first.
And yet my feelings were the same as yours, and I chalk it up to it not being as well crafted just throughout, like, event to event. And I don't know, that's not something in like a 200-hour experience that it's easy to put your finger on.
Yeah.
But like, I actually do find the question pertinent, and I thought it was worth building a game around, but I ended at the same place as you, where I played it and I was like, that wasn't as fun or compelling as 3 or New Vegas, certainly, or even 2.
But I still put like 80 hours into it.
Right, so it doesn't matter,
that's
I guess.
The thing
to me, that's also like saying the worst Coen Brothers movie is still worth watching.
Totally.
Yeah, because the thing is, at the heart of it, like, the thing that still kept me putting 80 hours into it is the fact that every single person can play it at the end of scenario, at the end of world scenario that they want.
Yep.
Like, are you a bruiser? Are you a talker? Like, the thing I really like about Fallout is that it's one of the few games where someone like me, who's like the kid in Dodgeball who didn't throw the ball, but they were really good at hiding from it, can go far.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fair. A lot of people critiqued this game for being overly simplified for a Fallout game. Not to the same degree that Fallout 76 is going to be, so we think, but like, meaning that the RPG elements were like more, like, less deep and simpler for people to walk
in. And I think they thought adding the building system, like adding a Minecraft element, the one aspect I did
it's like Sims.
It made scrounging garbage much more meaningful than it's been in any other one.
Yeah.
And I did like upgrading my bases and keeping them secure. But it's such a tech demo. You're like, this building system better get much better if they're going to keep this as a staple of the franchise.
It's truly not intuitive. The building system is truly not intuitive. And I think also, if somebody has never played, because I love having people that have never played games before play a game with me. And I had a friend play it a little bit because she saw me playing it. And she's like, oh, cool, you're playing with a dog in Joshua Tree. And I'm like, that's not what that is, but we'll get into it. Because she saw me at the gas station. She's like, is that Joshua Tree? No.
Like, well, the whole world is kind of Joshua Tree.
The whole world is Joshua Tree now. But the thing is, the entire franchise is not an idiot-proof game. Because a lot of games, that you play, if there's a specific mission item and you're leaving the room, you have an NPC going, don't forget your blank thing needed here.
Right.
And Fallout doesn't do that for you. And
not very 4 much.
Especially. And if you're like somebody that's new to the, because in the first part, when you get your armored power suit, you, and I've done this twice, I forgot both times, you can fully leave that shit behind and have to walk all the way back to go get it because you haven't fast traveled yet.
Yeah. If you forget, I until you get to a point where you own like 7, so it's not as big a deal.
But true, but right in the beginning.
Right in the beginning, I would fucking forget where I parked it, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spend an hour going in a spiral and then just be like, I guess it's gone.
Yeah. You do end up owning basically a wax museum's worth of power suits by the end.
My house was littered
with them.
I enjoyed collecting all the different power suits very much.
I did too. I mean, you know what? Before I say everything terrible I'm going to say about this series, I should say the series is at worst a B. You know what I mean? Like an 80 out
of 100.
It's
expecting more out of something that's been giving you great.
Yes, absolutely.
It's an AP student getting an okay grade.
Correct. That's the floor.
And I think some of the things we'll probably all agree on about the gameplay, we said in Skyrim, like they're true of all Bethesda games.
But they're
like,
worse in this game. They're worse.
Oh,
in my
see,
opinion.
That I don't agree with because I want to go back to you fully discounted the connection between 2 and 3 because it went from 2D to 3D.
But by a different company.
I still don't care. I still think it's.
Okay.
It's, you can't just gloss over that 2, I mean, actually 1, but 2 was just continuation.
Yeah.
Invented Special and VATS.
Sure.
And Special and VATS are the two defining features that make Fallout different from Skyrim at all.
Totally.
And of course, those things trace their roots just to Dungeons and Dragons. Like, if you're familiar with Dungeons and Dragons, Special and VATS are their own version of that, like how there's Pathfinder, which is their own version of D&D. But D&D, the structure of D&D underlies a lot of RPGs.
Right.
So the thing that truly, truly is the innovation of Fallout that's not story related, I think, is VATS. And so if you don't like VATS and you think it makes the combat less fun, and I know a lot of people who find it boring, then fine. But I just can't wrap my head around that. I fucking love VATS. I think it makes the game so much more fun than Skyrim that you can like pause, pick which limb you want to do with which weapon, choose your timing. I love that you have AP.
I'm glad you guys feel this way about that. I think that
I'm like defensive because like I anticipate what you're going to say is you hate VATS.
I'm
going to
be
right?
I'm going to be
you
gentle about VATS? It. No, I don't hate it. I think it's a little tedious.
Worse than Skyrim. Skyrim combat sucks.
I don't think Fallout combat's that great either. I mean, like, I think they're both flawed in their way. Like, to
I
me,
I have a lot more fun with Fallout combat than I do with Skyrim combat.
I think there's only one way that Skyrim fighting can be more interesting than Fallout, and that's if you're a shield and sword guy. Because then you can, like, have different weapons and have different effects and stuff, and then it's really more
varied. Took me 4 playthroughs to realize, I assumed if you focused on shield, your shield would just get stronger and stronger. I'm like, that's not fun. Right. If you haven't, you guys, be a shield person in Skyrim. It's really fun to
it
use
is fun.
The shield.
They clearly designed the game for that, and then the rest of the things were sort of tacked on a little bit. Like, magic was boring, as we said.
That's a huge bummer.
Yeah, it's not so great. I don't think this is bad, but again, this is a game that's a first-person shooter, and the first-person shooting part of it is not very good. It's okay, but like, it's worse than any other first-person shooter you would select. Any. Like, just pick any of them. They're all better at it.
I think it's an RPG. I don't think it is a first-person
shooter. I wouldn't categorize it as a first-person shooter at all, actually.
I know that you're saying that, but it is a first-person perspective
where you shoot.
No,
like,
I play it from third-person, first of all, so...
That's weird.
Yeah.
It's really weird that you do that.
You're weird. Don't you want to see what your character looks like?
No.
Why did you... I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I spent 2.5 hours in the mirror picking what my face looked like. I want to see that shit.
I mean, you see it in cutscenes all the time.
Yeah.
They give you cutscenes all the time.
I want to see it
all
the time.
It's just like finding out that your toilet paper out. It's jarring. I don't
get this. Everyone thought this was weird too. I play Grand Theft Auto in first person.
Really?
Yeah, that's super weird. I don't understand.
I don't want to look at Trevor's fucking stupid head. I hate him.
I like how he's balding though.
Okay.
Like,
you would.
I would. I would like that and do. So what the fuck was I saying before you were rude?
First person shirt.
Yeah. It's just not. it's not great at that. It's not awful. It's just not really very good at it. And
agreed.
It's tedious as a first-person shooter because you don't do the same kind of damage that you should do with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then to make up for that, but to counterbalance it, they give you this VAT system, which sort of heightens the power of your gun ultimately, but makes all combat in slow motion. And that's like, well, that's not my favorite.
Okay.
I don't think it's awful. I'm willing to accept it as the innovation of Fallout, but that doesn't make it great to me.
I think if you're the type of person who likes strategy, I always prefer games, like I like chess more than, I don't know, some reflex-based game, some sport.
The slap, hand slap?
Yeah.
You like chess more than bloody knuckles? I mean,
and so like in, like I like RPGs where you can pause for an infinite time versus an like the new Final Fantasies where it's all run around and they attack in a cycle.
You like
of
turn-based strategy stuff.
I like thinking and I like having an infinite amount of time to think, so I guess VATS is perfect for me.
Sure.
But I just want to say that, and New Vegas gets to the heart of this much more, so I'll try not
to
impinge on it.
New Vegasing already.
It's so good.
It's more about my love for the franchise. It's more about the story structure, because in another life, I would have been born in 1937 and gotten my dream job, which is to write science fiction short stories in magazines at a time where that could like make ends meet. And the main plot of Fallout doesn't fucking matter because the B plots and quests each constitute essentially a short story or like a Star Trek episode.
And they are the best thing about it.
And they're so good. And in 4, they're very lackluster. So you focus so much more on the combat and the combat's weak. But I feel like when you switch over to Elder Scrolls, all the short stories, if you will, are just like, there was a god and he's evil and you shoot him and you get his axe.
My village was ready to help me.
Right. Sci-fi is so much richer and varietous.
Okay. Well, I'm a little bit being devil's advocate because I kind of agree with you on that. But just for the sake of making this podcast, not all of us agreeing. I think that we're overestimating the wow factor for the stories in Fallout in general. I think the side stories are definitely better. But if you're going to discount the main quest to that degree, then like, well, then we have a flawed game in a much more substantially flawed game than we were first saying.
Which I think we do. I think we all agree 4 is really flawed.
Think that. No.
You don't think 4 is flawed?
I don't. Yeah, of course I think it's flawed. I don't think it's flawed like the whole main story sucks.
No,
I think it's fine.
I didn't think I was saying that. Okay. Oh, it's called the Prydwen. Been trying to think of the goddamn airship name.
Ah,
forever.
Got it.
Well done.
The Brotherhood of Steel ship.
You did know that, yeah.
Yeah,
I got you. Knowing it.
No, I agree that all of the side quests are really they're fun pulp novels. But like the main story isn't a bad main story. It's not as impactful as it should be, and also it's one of those. Oh, well, I've seen it coming because like right at the beginning, Codsworth is like, you've been asleep for 200 years.
Right.
You could only assume so much about how old your child is.
It wasn't, the twists are not executed with the same narrative surprise.
See, Vegas didn't have a twist. They put way too much weight on the twist that he would be your son. Yeah.
But twists are, that's just part of how you do video game narrative, right? Is like that at certain points there's surprises. Like for instance, in God of War, which we just talked about, you end up journeying into hell, and in hell there's a vision because of the way hell works, that is a surprising revelation to the son. Like there's surprise there. You know, like every game has that element. And this one, the twists are so like, it's like Shutter Island where they focus on it too much.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, so you don't feel it.
Whereas
that part I agree with.
Vegas didn't really have notable twists, so it didn't take that chance and therefore it didn't fall down that way.
Well, yeah, because there's a lot of games I can think of where they had like some kind of twist reveal about who the enemy was. And it doesn't help that I played the two games that executed that so much better I replayed Bioshock and Bioshock Infinite right before Fallout 4.
Right.
And those have such better executions of who the actual enemy
who's
is.
Who's actually evil. Yep.
Yeah. Like those ones are the ones that actually like truly got you for times to come afterwards. And Fallout 4, I was like, oh, I guess he's my kid.
Bioshock, I mean, I've said this on this podcast before, I think is my favorite video game story. I think it's...
You don't mean infinite? You mean one.
I mean one, yeah. I think that's my favorite.
Yeah.
I think that's the one that was truly satisfying.
It's because one feels like a Ray Bradbury story.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also a really good first-person shooter, which this game isn't. Okay, I know what I was going to say before I got sidetracked. So what do you think... if you had to say, like, you play as X in Fallout, what is X? What do you play as in your mind?
Let's go around the horn.
Yeah.
I'm usually stealth and then eventually sniper stealth.
Okay.
I really like... In 4, what I eventually settled on for most of the time was getting Pikmin's Blade, sneaking in and doing critical hits from behind. Yeah. I blitz in with my Pikmins and Deathclaws die around me. I downloaded all the DLCs. I'm basically astounding.
Why doesn't the word Pikmin scan for me in this game? I mean, I know I have an idea what Pikmin is, but it's not...
It's not the Nintendo thing.
No, it's not the Nintendo.
You meet a crazy guy named something Pikmin. Remember, he has the Twisted Art Gallery, I believe.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Okay, yeah.
He
has
a really powerful knife called Pikmin's Blade.
Right, right, right.
And
right.
I really ended up liking that.
I did not use that. Okay.
How about you, Vanessa?
A lot of stealth as well. I like games that give me the option to have stealth. Because I'm not the fastest trigger finger when it comes to gaming. So stealth and being able to just be like a sniveling hoarder works for me, where it's just like, I'll out survive you all and then just like slash you in the necks of the night. Cause that's how I know what my actual take on it's going to be. It's I'm going to hoard up until everyone's weaker and then just sneak in the night.
Yeah.
And it really lends itself to me being able to do that. And that's how I tend to play Fallout games.
And charisma, right? Like you said.
Yeah. Charisma
too.
And perception.
I love all the talking like solutions.
Charming rogue type.
I always get like public speaking 1 and 2 as fast as possible.
Same. Yeah. Charisma and perception. And cool. I get to surprise 2 new people with the reason I have really, really slow trigger fingers.
I'm
just
ready.
Push inward on either and any fingertip. Just pick one. Just push inward. It's gross.
Oh, no!
They all do that, and I can't.
I
stop
have hitchhiker's thumb.
Oh, so
Vanessa
for the audience,
has hitchhiker every finger. All of her fingers bend back at the first knuckle.
With no, literally no,
like
not
way
a ton
more
of pressure. They just
they
flip
should.
Back. So when I'm like playing with a controller,
for those of you who don't have a mental image right now. I mean, this is like...
It's Nosferatu fingers.
It's like I don't have bones in my fingers because there's just no get and then they just push inward. So like when I'm sitting there trying to like be quick on the draw, it's just like I have pudding hands that just won't...
Like the spring inside the trigger
so
is stronger than your fingers' tensile strength.
Holy fucking shit.
Like the left trigger will bend your finger backward. Amazing.
It's why like on computer gaming too, I'm not
this.
That fast.
Wow. Because
like I'll like push down on a key, like I'll just look, just that, like that, and then I end up hitting
right,
other
stop
keys.
Stop doing that. No offense.
So it's why I have to play stealth.
I'm not here to do any body shaming at all, but like that blows my mind. I'm talking about
it's
this
so,
is like
I have no idea why they do
this
that.
Is like Mr. Fantastic level bending.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. This is like really impressive.
It's like you suddenly discover you can like pull your cheek 8 inches out.
Right.
You're like, why can I do that?
Right. Yeah. Like why can I? And also, why haven't I been for all this time?
Like I showed a doctor that, and I was just like, hey, why am I doing this? And she was like, and I'm like, I don't ever want to hear as a diagnosis. Like,
my medical opinion is you're gross.
And then she's like. For 1,000 credits, I can permanently increase your athleticism.
It's like, can we just like ace bandage tape my fingers down so I can fucking fire a gun faster in a game?
That's fantastic.
This is why I always like strategy with infinite time over rolling dice.
Because
chance.
You also have Mr. Fantastic
fingers? Yeah,
because
of fingers. That's why, because of fingers.
I didn't know you were a bendy fingered fellow. I didn't know that.
Who do you play as in?
Okay, so I have a secret answer to this, which is why I asked it.
Mario.
The answer is we all play as the same. It's all Mario. No, the answer is we all play as the same person, which is a scavenger. That is what you do in Fallout. Every single Fallout game is mostly, and by mostly I mean like 90% of the time, looking through drawers, sorting out shit, sorting your inventory, saving some stuff, selling some other stuff, keeping it for caps. That's the fucking game. It's so much time.
It's really fun. I love scavenging.
I don't like that.
It never stops getting cathartic when I open a box and find something I know I need. I really enjoy it.
That's so great.
And I would say, are you a charisma forward character? Because I think...
No, I think I should try this because you go...
I think 90%
you
is
really
overstating it. I probably spend 30% of my time in dialogue trees.
Same.
I don't think so.
Because the charisma and public speaking things will turn like your ability to talk to someone from three things to like nine things. Like it really greatly increases the number of things
so
you can
discuss.
I'm
doing this wrong then. Okay, I can accept
that.
Not
wrong if people like whatever they like.
I mean, I am generally like pretty good at first person shooters. So like I'll run around and shoot stuff. I'm good at that.
In real time, not in Vance.
Yes.
Okay.
Fair enough.
No, I'm just asking.
No, I know. And I'm being weird about it. Like, what do you want from me? So I'm not as inclined to like use a different system, but I should, because it sounds like you guys are having more fun than I am. I still think my point stands, though, that the loop of this game is fundamentally about inventory management. Like, that's what it is.
I would say, okay. I don't want to interrupt you. But
that's okay.
Yeah.
And please don't. and I think for some reason in this game, I just got tired of that. I, you know what I mean? It's like, why am I picking up so much garbage?
But every game has multiple systems, right?
Of course they do.
It's scavenging. Okay, but it's scavenging, and then it's also shooting. It's also talking. And it's also, I think, something that we haven't mentioned enough, because none of us said that, like, when we were talking about who we play as, it's also the old morality thing where you're making a sequence of decisions that have moral impact, sometimes with a lot of gray area.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it invites you to think about, what will the consequences be? You make a choice. You get to see what the consequences are. That's a thing. Like, Knights of the Old Republic had that. I think you spend a lot, or at least I do. I spend a lot of my time when I'm playing it mulling over philosophical conundra, which is a thing I love to do.
You do.
It's another reason I really like it.
That's true. He does like that.
Like, I'll get an offer from, well, this is New Vegas, the one where you can blow up Megaton. But
fucking New Vegas.
I can't think of New Vegas so goddamn much.
Well, my God, they both love it so much. It's so crazy.
What's, can anyone think of something in 4 that's a little morality question you have to answer?
I think the last question is the most morality.
Sure. Well, who to side with. That's always I mean, like, you find out the mayor is an android.
Yeah.
Do you tell people or not?
Right.
I will go off and do side quests for hours and hours.
While you mentally think about it?
And I enjoy that I have lots of time to scavenge, because you can scavenge mindlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm actually doing is debating that issue and deciding what I'm going to do with that situation.
Now, I understand that this is hypocritical, because every gameplay loop is fundamentally not very narrative for the most part. Like, to use the ultimate contrast, we'll use Destiny. Destiny, I spend most of that game, I'm just shooting some bullshit until I get somebody fucking voice-overing me what I did.
Mm-hmm.
That's not very narrative either. But, like, Fallout, I expect more from my narrative. So the fact that I spend the most time basically reading printouts to get to narrative or digging through inventory shit feels, like, a little too diffuse for me. Like, I wish it was more present,
mm-hmm.
you know, and more immediate and more constant. And I feel like they have the talent to do that. You know, like I think that's a problem in
they
this
do.
Game.
I understand that. And I know for a lot of players, I think they would like to have the narrative more obvious, but I kind of like that it's up to me to figure it out.
Okay.
It gives me a ton of freedom to play how I want. And that also includes how much information I glean.
Okay. Okay.
And it is very Destiny-like in the sense that if you go all in on wanting to glean everything about the background of the world, we can't get into it, but the underlying lore of, like, how Vault Tech came to be, what the vaults are, each one's a different social experiment, like, why it is that way, the lore is fantastic and, like, really deep, and you can glean hundreds of thousands of words of information if you want, but you don't have to.
So, okay, I'm going to return to this in a minute, mm-hmm. but, like, I think that Fallout is better about selling the lore, and I don't mean, like, bullshit background. I mean, I think that the premise of it is more forward and more constantly being reinforced with mm-hmm. lore all the time, whereas in most high concept sci-fi games it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Like Destiny, you find out one piece of trivia that you then later must connect the dots if you give a shit.
Right. Or Dead Space, it's all up top, and then the rest of the game's just doing the getting.
Fallout puts it forward. Like Fallout's like, look, the premise is like the most important thing about this game is the premise. Mm-hmm. So, like, we're not going to deviate from that.
And the people and all the, like, the thousands of B-plots of the people you're going to run into. Yeah.
Right. And they're all going to be related to this premise. And because of that, I had a question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not over the idea of Fallout trying to be a satire yet. I have not yet conceded the idea that the synths are not supposed to be a racial comparison.
Oh, sure. And the whole thing is obviously 50s aesthetic satire.
But that's the thing. why is it the 50s? And is it really the 50s? By which I mean, when you go back and put together all the things that have happened in this earth that it's parodying, they created a culture that was 50s aesthetic, but that also was obsessed with the idea of one day being blown apart. That's the their drinks are bombs. They have board games that are about getting nuked, like stuff that you would not have in the 50s.
The official answer is, which I think is totally cool, is it's a hyper-exaggerated alternate history of during the Cold War, we really were obsessed. Like, those things are based on real things. There was nuke cola during the Cold War because people were thinking about nukes all the time.
Right.
Fallout is an alternate universe where the Cold War escalated to the point where it happened. China got involved.
Right, right.
If you want to know all this, you could know.
No, I do know this. I know the answer to this.
So my point is, the aesthetic is the 50s because that's when the nukes landed.
But it isn't. No, it's the 50s if they carried on, because there was like a period of time, I think it was until like 2000 when the 50s aesthetic continued on.
It's the idea that what if society was locked in the 50s aesthetic for about 80 years,
right?
Then the nukes hit.
Right.
They play with time there a bit. I agree with that. I guess it's so cool that I accept it. I wouldn't want it to not be based on the 50s aesthetic. It's one of the core things about the Fallout experience.
I know.
Is the Pip-Boy and the music and stuff.
I'm going to wait until she says her thing.
And I really like the 50s aesthetic because the 50s are such a good example of like America waiting to see what's around the corner. It's the time where it's just like, oh man, the future must be great. Cause like right down the aesthetic of like everything's like atomic themed and the way everything looks, we're very like future based in the 50s. We're thinking about like things are gonna be so much better later. And it's hilariously ironic that we're still in this time of like, oh man, things are gonna be great right around the corner and we're thinking about that now.
Right.
And I think it's a great to contrast. I think it's literally just an artistic choice where they're like, what's the best culture to contrast with the nukes have fallen and it's a desolate wasteland? The culture we had when we were most concerned about that, that also happens to have a kick-ass soundtrack.
So I'm going to make my point instead of being coy. So
he's been stroking his mustache and his eyes. His eyes twinkling, man.
There's madness.
He's got a good point to drop, and here it goes.
So here's my point. This is not the 50s. This is how we remember the 50s. And I think that's why they have this alternate history. Right. Because in this version of the 50s, they were looking forward to an apocalypse, which is to say that in this narrative, the apocalypse is the desired result.
I
know that's not what they think they're saying.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
I'm saying that is what is in fact true about this world.
Interesting.
That the apocalypse is the desired result of this world that they came from, right? Which is what makes it to me not that great of a satire, because I think that's what people think they're getting, is that they're getting some like commentary, maybe satire is the wrong word, commentary, some like sci-fi like point that's being made. And to me it isn't, because it only rewards and wants to be in the apocalyptic place. It's not actually interested in the past.
Right, I agree.
It's not actually trying to talk about how the past led here.
And I think that's so that's only a failing if they intended it to be a satire. I think that's why Vanessa and I both think, even though I understand they are named after the Underground Railroad and they tie it to the Underground Railroad because the Underground Railroad started in Boston.
Right.
I just think you're supposed to take it at face. I think it's just about androids. About racism.
That's insane. If you don't want that comparison, then distance yourself from it.
That say that the AI question's not valid thing to base a story around, and it totally is.
Of course it's valid. I think that comparison that they're making is not as valid as the imagery that they're using to tell that story. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. Also, it affects me the least out of most people. So like, I don't get to have the strongest opinion about it. But I am still a thinking person, and I see these elements, and I see how they correlate, and I don't think it's the best.
I do understand what you both mean in that, like, I do feel like they were a little bit too muddled in the questions that they were presenting.
Yes.
Like, they were using older arguments that we've had for a new question when it's like, just ask the new question.
Yes.
We don't need echoes of old conversations that we've had. I mean, conversations that are still ongoing. I feel like if it's a completely new debate that we're having presented to me in a new way.
Yeah. Yeah, frame it in its current context. Since this apocalypse is clearly the only point of reference that is substantial, and since the moment that it comes out in actual history, 2015 or whenever it came out, is the only context in which it will speak directly to it, then make it that time period. Like, frame those questions that in a way that's relevant to that time period, instead of like you said, these ancient sort of outdated motifs that they're using. That's a really highbrow criticism.
I just say don't even try to. That's why I just see no need to tie it to anything on a symbolic level.
But that's to excuse it.
It's not to excuse it. When I watch Battlestar Galactica, I don't assume that it's metaphor for shit. I assume it's a story about what's happening in space.
I just don't think
it is a metaphor.
I don't think Battlestar Galactica is a metaphor the same way Fallout is. I think Fallout as a premise has more irony in it.
I think Fallout 4 accidentally, just because they were pulling iconic things from Boston, and they were like, oh, we're asking about androids. Oh, we could call it the Railroad. I think they fucked up in a major way by inviting
there it is.
A satirical comparison. I do not think they intend it.
So this is, you both agree on that?
I don't think it was intended. I don't think they intended for it, but I think it's because they didn't understand the source material It was so easy for it to be. It's basically somebody that didn't understand the playing area that they were working with and all of the context that comes with history. Yeah. And they're like, I'm just going to pull from this cool thing and use it for this new question. But it's like, you're not even looking at the history behind the interesting name that you pulled.
But the Railroad that's a really generous cool name for a faction. I think that's why they did it.
And I feel like we owe it to them to think that they fucked up more substantively than you're to say.
It sounds like we agree they fucked up. We disagree about the nature. I think they fucked up because they accidentally implied a satire when they didn't mean to. You think they fucked up by trying to get some satire in there and then totally not supporting it.
Well, and not really thinking it all the way through or not having a robust understanding.
Well, because your decision about the androids or which faction you side with doesn't really symbolically bear on any real race relation issues. So that's why it's not
other than
really
the obvious parallels that they're drawing through the way they tell the story.
People should be free? Yeah.
No, right, of course.
Right. I mean, it's only in the most basic way that
Did you ever do a run at all of this game where you thought synths were monsters and they're not humans and they should die? Did either of you do that?
No, because Valentine. How badass.
I know, Bobby Valentine. Nick Valentine's so great.
The companions in 4 are a saving grace, but I think it has particularly good companions.
I will say Dog Meat is the most emotionally manipulative thing a game has ever done to me.
Yep.
Holy shit. Like, on the next, I did not expect me to respond so physically on a deep maternal level over a goddamn dog. Because, like, with most games, I don't really care what happens to my companion character.
Fake dog.
I know it's a fake dog, but it makes real dog noises. And so, like, in that initial part where you're saving the Minutemen in the museum from the raiders, and the first time Dog Meat gets hurt, and you just hear that dog, like, noise. Yeah. Just, like, every maternal instinct in me flared up, and I felt my face get hot, and I'm like, what is this? I'm so panicked.
Wow.
Okay. I need to help the... Yeah,
Nick Valentine made it impossible for me to ever be a monster and kill all the synths.
As we've talked about before, there's very, very few games where I've ever done an evil run. I just don't find it that fun. How about you?
Same.
I don't think I've ever really done an evil run. I tried to do it with Bioshock initially where it was like just harvest all the little sisters. And the first time I did it, I was like, well, let's delete that game file. That didn't feel good.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good.
Well, and you don't get anything substantively meaningful from that run.
Except maybe fear.
If you're in it for fear and survival, you get
the game fear.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I think
I haven't played it. I don't know.
Fear 1 and Fear 2 are hot piles of garbage, but Fear 3 is phenomenal because that's a John Carpenter story. And
are you saying it's better if you're evil in
Fear 3 is one of maybe the only game I've ever played where it's better if you're evil.
Like, just way more fun.
Well, yeah, if you play Fear 3 as the good guy, you're just dicked. Like, nothing really good happens for you. Because that is a game from the beginning where it's just like, we don't love you as a player. We want you to hurt. But, like, if you play Fear 3 entirely evil, you're heavily rewarded.
Always fun.
I think we all... I wish I could impart to you the level of passion that she put into that. It was very intense. She was like, it's good.
Well, yeah, because I played Fear 3, like, as a good guy, and I was like, what the fuck? This is worth nothing to me.
Yeah.
And I decided to play it through the other way, and fuck.
Yeah.
They definitely made their intention clear.
Okay.
All right, I got three questions. Can I throw them out?
Oh, I'm excited.
All short answers.
I'm excited.
That I think can be revealing. One, the old lady who has visions, but only if you give her drugs, and everyone else in the community wants you to stop giving her drugs, and if you give her too many drugs, she has a heart attack, but she gives you the clues to help you progress through the game.
Yep.
How'd you side on that?
Oh, man. I'm an enabler at heart. I probably have some codependency issues because I was like, oh, man, I got to give her the drug. She really wants it. It's a really shitty.
Mama needs her medicine.
Mama needs her medicine.
I told you this would be revealing.
It's a goddamn wasteland. And
I don't think I ever gave her any drugs. I don't remember giving her drugs.
I leaned into it.
And what I am, I guess, is a cheater because I collected all the drugs I knew she needed. Saved my game, gave her every drug in a row until she died in front of me. Then went back in time and she was magically alive again. And I had taken screenshots of all of her visions.
I should have done that.
You're fucking Rick Sanchez is what you are.
Well, I should have done that. I'm such a people pleaser. I pleased her to death.
I am obsessively paranoid in Fallout about making a decision I can't take back because the consequences matter so much to me. So yeah, I'm an autosave cheater in Fallout for sure.
Did you ever kill anybody that meant anything? That's like my favorite Bethesda question.
No, if I did by accident, I reset. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't in this game. I mentioned in Skyrim, so that I killed the Whiterun.
Nice.
Oh, no. I didn't do it on purpose. It was like fucking vampires and you got killed. I was like, God,
I remember.
Damn it.
The blacksmith, right? Yes. And then you couldn't buy shit.
It was
really
frustrating. Okay. What's your next question? You had three.
Favorite companion. Is it all Nick? Because I think that...
Definitely Nick.
It's all Nick.
That actually speaks to a weakness then. Because if there's only one good one...
He's so much better than everybody else. No, there's not only one good one. I mean, I would argue
that... But he's like such the clear favorite.
The dog is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, because he's a noir robot. Come on. Right. How are you going to beat that? Right. That's the best.
I think it points to a strength and a flaw, which is Fallout does its best when it leans into pulp.
Yeah.
When it just fully embraces pulp storylines and pulp characters, and when it tries to be anything else, I'm bored.
Yep.
And if they just lean in noir and they just keep giving me like some Gregory Peck motherfuckers, I'm gonna go for it. But anytime it tries to be, I don't want to say greater than that because pulp is great, but anytime it tries to be something else, I'm bored.
Yep. Mm. That's how I feel.
Last but not least, I feel like people are going to want to know, in your first run, how'd you end the world? Like, what faction did you side? What was your ending? If you recall.
I remember.
I went against my son.
Killed your son.
Killed my son.
Don't beat around the bush. You shot your son.
I shot my son in the goddamn face. Well, because at that point, it was one of those greater good scenarios, and I am, if nothing, a people pleaser, and it was just kind of like, well, my son hates me. Might as well just lean into it.
Might as well not have him in the world anymore.
Might as well.
When he was already dying, as I recall, right?
You shoot him in his hospital bed. Did it have anything to do
meaningless.
With... Because the idea of the Institute, I think, comes down to the basic question of if there's this all-powerful thing that can do a lot of good, but to do it, they have to kill everyone, and they're kind of pricks. Do you let them do it? Like,
can't imagine feeling like the Institute was the right choice. I can't.
Really?
No. I chose the railroad, as I remember.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a pretty bleak ending, as I recall.
Yeah, but the railroad was the only morally crusading...
Right. At least they had a stance.
Because the Brotherhood of Steel sucks. Like
they're the evil run.
Yeah, I don't like them. I've never liked them at any point in the games, ever. Yeah. I never liked Brotherhood of Steel.
And the Institute leaned too far towards like the concept of eugenics and like who's valuable and who isn't.
Yeah, is there too micromanagey? It feels Nazi-esque.
Yeah, it felt too much just like, well, why do you get to decide who's valuable to society and who isn't? It just opened too many potential...
Yep.
A lot of people that should be alive won't be. So it was just like, gotta shoot the guy in the hospital bed, I guess.
Yeah, why should we kill all those ghouls? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think they're all interesting people. Most of them have been interesting, at least. Also, what was the other faction was like the Minutemen, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, you can...
They were part of it, right?
You can technically finish the plot by employing enough Minutemen to just go, I think, kill the Institute and the Brotherhood or something.
I think that's right.
I never went down that path.
I never cared for the Minutemen.
Man, how sick do you get of defending your settlements and getting that ping every time? That's like such and such settlements under.
That's true of every game with settlements, though.
I love
they all do that.
I love the trade route system. I got to say, random aside,
I never got that.
I thought the trade route system was really cool.
Okay,
if I may say my ending,
Of course.
Because I'm an autosave refresh junkie.
Yep.
I refreshed and refreshed and refreshed until I got an ending, which does exist. So if you haven't gotten it, I urge you to keep trying, where all the factions live peacefully and no faction is destroyed.
How?
I don't recall anymore, but you can look up the sequence online. But I figured it out myself through sheer trial and error. Like going one step forward with the Brotherhood's plan, then one step forward with the Institute's plan,
But you Rick Sanchez'd it. I'm telling, like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, congratulations, you found one possibility in the infinite multiverse.
And I had to, fits. Because I just can't. I'm such a people pleaser. I'm like, no one can lose. It has to be a tie. That's where I always end Fallout, is I try to make the factions tie. Because I don't, in the end, want to I don't want it to be my responsibility to decide what society
does. Nearly every moral dilemma in Fallout is which person lives and which person dies. Like, there's so many that are that. So it's like, by the end, that decision doesn't have the same...
Not dead money.
It's like Rick making that decision on season 10 of The Walking Dead. Like, is it really that hard for him to decide to kill a person to save his family or whatever now? Mm-hmm. How can it be? Like, and that's how I feel about the moral quandary at the end, where it's like, even killing my son in this fucking wasteland, who cares? You know, like, this is a math problem.
Cold-hearted man.
But it's a math problem. The whole thing is math problem.
I legitimately found it. I could not stand there and even virtually shoot the character representing my own child in the head. I just can't do that.
He's an old cancer-ridden
for emotional reasons.
Really?
But it's your goddamn own child. What kind of person can shoot their kid in the head?
Kind of person's going to make another one. Saw that problem
kind
right away.
Kind of person that's going to make society flawless.
Kind of person's been wearing goggles no matter what time of day or night the whole time.
Terrible armor combinations. If you just go by what gives you the best stats, you always look like a fucking nerd. Like, you're wearing some crazy shit.
Just a goddamn scuba helmet.
Yeah.
Top hat. One arm has a harness on it. The other arm's just kind of like, where'd that guy come from?
Just has a rebar wrapped around your shoulder.
I do think that the fact that you have to equip something on each arm is like, all right. You know what I mean? Because, like, then you start to get really silly bullshit.
Yep.
And like, just give me things with sleeves.
Repairing,
you know,
the power armors gets old.
Yeah.
But should we pass our last checkpoint? It's about that time.
I guess so.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. CYMBIOTIKA.com.
Probiotics aren't a trend anymore. They're a mainstay in the health and wellness aisle of your favorite store. And Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls are the easiest way to introduce a probiotic into your routine. I mean, they're just what they sound like. Adorable little pearls that couldn't be easier to take. But they still pack that probiotic punch. Each tiny pearl has 1 billion active cultures and protect against occasional bloating, constipation, and digestive discomfort. And they actually support both digestive and vaginal health, so that's a win-win. And according to my little fact sheet here, they're designed with a triple layer coating that protects each pearl from stomach acid, so they can make it all the way to your small intestine where they're needed most. You probably didn't think we'd be talking about the small intestine today, did you? Well, digestive health is kind of important. If you know, you know. To learn more about Nature's Way Women's Probiotic Pearls and how they can fit into your routine, visit naturesway.com.
Then this is called Keep or Delete, where we go around the horn once again and see if anyone's changed their minds based on what's been said. Basically, the central question is, on the eternal celestial hard drive of X number of best games of all time, does this make it?
X is usually between 1 and 200 games.
Yeah.
That's how we've defined it in the past.
It's how he's defined it, and I'm supportive of that.
Fair enough.
I say it stays because like even a meh Fallout is still really replayable. There's so many different possibilities and there's only so many games that I can play over and over again before I'm bored.
Yeah.
And like I said, second playthrough spent forever on Red Menace. So the fact that there's still little nooks within the game where I can waste a lot of time on and play in this big, beautiful sandbox, it's going to stay.
Okay.
I was going to delete it because I thought we were all going to delete it, and I just didn't want to speak to the strength of my convictions because I don't like to stick my neck out there. But if Vanessa's keeping it, I'm keeping it.
Really?
I'm going to keep, every Fallout game we ever discuss.
That's fucking ridiculous. Completely.
And I won't even say that
You've lost credibility on this.
I won't even say
now.
That about Sonic. There's a lot of shit Sonic games.
There's only shit Sonic games. Maybe there's one good one.
I really want to know about how you feel about Sonic 2 Battle.
Which one?
The GameCube one, Sonic Battle, Sonic 2 Battle.
Oh, I haven't played it.
Fuck!
Really good?
We need to have a conversation about it because just the games within a games makes it a really interesting one.
Okay. I'm a Sonic CD loyalist.
Because it gives you the option to play between...
One, right? Sorry, I interrupted.
Oh, no, sorry. Just it gives you the option to play between good and evil. And there's also a side quest where it's like, hey, you know how Neopets were popular between this time? You can raise these little things and also choose if they go between good and evil. It's really interesting.
I'm going to keep...
Let's do it.
To me, Fallout as a series deserves to be represented somewhere on this hard drive. I'm totally on that. I would put 3 on there because I think the story is more interesting. And I would also add, I think there's a Fallout coming one day that will be better. And not because I think they have more to say, but because I think the janky systems and the bad game design parts of this that we didn't talk about at all but are a regular problem with Bethesda.
You can listen to our Skyrim episode and they're the same complaints.
Yeah.
Well, and like, again, we fucking hammered Mass Effect Andromeda as a culture. We shit on that game for less bad problems.
We're like,
than
the mechanics should be smoother than
way
this.
Less bad problems. And like, I think one day Bethesda will have the money or time or whatever is required to make a really solid mechanically and like visually and like the talking parts version of this game, and that alone will make it worth saving.
Mm-hmm.
This is not that. 3 is the one that lives on to me.
Mm-hmm. 4 is like a McMansion for you.
4 is an in-between. One day there will be the better graphics promised by 4 with the story from 3 or New Vegas or whatever one.
I was just, I have
You don't have to.
Asterisk, he hasn't played New Vegas, so when he says 3, he means New Vegas, but...
No, I don't. I mean 3. We can go back and attend it later when I play New Vegas.
No, it is unfair. Like, you keep speaking definitively on an entire franchise that you haven't played half the games of.
I'm definitive for my opinion of that franchise based on what I've played.
But even you must admit...
When
you say the best one's 3, you're choosing between the ones you've played. Or are you... Because talk about losing credibility. You're saying you can judge a game that you have never played and say, oh, 3 is better than New Vegas, which I've never played.
I'm doing it. I'm currently doing it. That's where I have to be on this podcast right now. I have to do that.
No, you're totally welcome to say, of the ones I've played, 3 is the best one.
I could. And a humbler man than I would do that. You know, I'll find. I know how much you love New Vegas. I'll back off on this for now, but only 3 stays. New Vegas probably sucks. We'll find out.
Yeah, exactly. We'll find out. All I'm asking is, it's not a Fallout thing. It's fucking logic. You cannot review a thing you haven't played yet. How dare you?
I'm Darren. I got really feisty at the end of this quartet of podcasts.
But like, I get the argument because it's like going into a Mexican restaurant and being like, the burger I had was bad.
I understand the problem with me claiming that I know what all the series is when I haven't played all the series, but for fuck's sake, like, I'm saying between 3 and 4, and I'm just being an asshole for your sake.
Gotcha.
I'm being an asshole for your entertainment's
Thank
sake.
God. Well, a lot of my perception of life is anchored around the fact that you understand logic. I think of you as a very logical man.
Mostly.
Yeah.
But also,
but sometimes you'll just
fuck with me.
I'm not
sold on this New Vegas bullshit. I'm just not sold on it
yet. I'm not asking you to be, because how could you be? You haven't played it yet. And that's the admission I needed to wheedle out of you, and I got it.
This is a guarantee to the audience. Like, if I don't like New Vegas,
I will
one of the
tears,
two of us will be dead. I don't know which one. Either Mike or I will
be
dead.
No, you'll reduce me to tears during the, if you play it and you're like, it was worse than 4. It was the worst one.
Oh, that's a heartbreaking sentence.
I'll be like, my emotions are actually hurt. Can we pause that and like figure out how to continue from here?
Like, I think we would be forced to leave it in. It'll just be like 35 minutes where you're crying and I'm just silent. Like, I don't. What do you want me to say, man? And it's like real, like understanding but terrible.
Yeah.
And like that's and the content. Like, I don't know, 35 minutes
for sci-fi stories. I gotta say, Super Metroid had a lot deeper story than Fallout New Vegas.
For sci-fi stories, I gotta say, if you think about Link in the future, it's like better
It's better than New Vegas for sure. Future Link,
like just imagine Link with like a headset and like it's better, super better.
It's already got an iPad. We'll get there. Vanessa, where can people find your work online?
You can find everything that I do on my website, VanessaGritton.com, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at NessGritton.
What about the podcasts?
Podcasts. Yes, I'm on a few. I have the Brouhaha podcast on the Unpops Network, and we actually have a live episode coming up soon, which is real fun. We did a live show, and there's everything from interrupting trumpets to a karaoke contest, so it's ridiculous.
Sounds great.
And the Take a Walk podcast, where somebody takes me somewhere really cool I've never been before, and we talk about it, why it means something to them.
So. That's a great idea.
Thank you.
If you ever
I see a lot of cool things
that
way.
Have you already done the Museum of Jurassic Technology?
I haven't.
Oh my God, that's a great idea.
Guest and take you there?
I would love to have you both because I actually haven't been to the museum yet either, and I really want to go.
That's like right around the corner from here.
It's awesome.
Hell yeah, I would love that.
In this mythical place I live where no one knows where it is.
Yeah, don't tell anyone.
No, it's close though.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So
this has been Friends Fighting.
Work complete.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand. It's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products. It's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.